You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the final edition of Locked On Kings for the week. I'm Jason Ross. Kings will play tomorrow against the Denver Nuggets, and these last couple of days hopefully have been, let's say, productive. The Kings need that to be the case. And today on the podcast, we'll get a little Locked On Kings mailbag, a look ahead to Denver, and get some more player reaction on what's going on currently with the Sacramento Kings. Let's start with that player reaction first and foremost. I know I'm getting feedback from you guys that you like hearing from the players in different realms and different outlooks. So I mentioned the other day, amongst many things that went wrong on this last couple of games here, the defensive end has been awful. I mean, there's no way around that. That's the way we have to address it. It's been bad. Players know it. Fans know it. Coaches know it. I hope personally they've been working a ton on that. But the guy that's been the most outspoken about it, at least in the locker room the other day, I didn't play this audio for you, so I wanted to play this, was Garrett Temple. And Garrett Temple, to me, is the best defender on this team. But he can't do it by himself, and he's not perfect either. He needs some help. So let's just hear Garrett address that from the game the other day after they gave up all those points to the Hornets. He starts with his frustrations right now about this team's defense.
We haven't guarded a soul. Haven't defended a soul. If you don't guard an NBA, you're going to lose every game. I don't care who you play. And we haven't defended whatsoever at all, point blank.
As a guy that is known for his defense, that's got to be...
Very frustrating. Very frustrating. I'm included in that. Just team defense, it's individual defense. It's a lot of different things that we are not doing. And when teams, you know, when you force a team into one turnover, even though they don't turn the ball over a lot. I think we had like one or two deflections in the first half. They didn't feel this at all. And then the second half, they just felt comfortable. So the shots that were contested, they still went in. But no disrespect to that team. You know, even though they play real well in Golden State, you know, we can't, and they have pieces, but we can't give up 72 points in the first half. I don't know what they finished with, but it's just unacceptable, man.
Is it more effort or is it more execution?
It's everything. Both. It's both.
Is it even tougher when you look at just how, I'm a last game guy that's just getting in the paint whenever you want. This tonight, you got a team that doesn't really shoot the three, just shooting the ball with so much confidence from the three.
They don't shoot the three?
Yeah, they average like 8.8 a game makes.
Oh, well, yeah.
And they matched their season high today.
I mean, they made
15.
Yeah. I mean, it's when you play against us, it's kind of like pick whatever you want to do. We just aren't guarding. Pick and roll, whether it's a one-on-one. They get in the paint, people get in the paint whenever they want to. We got to defend. Simple as that, man.
Not to belabor it, but when Coach was talking about them not feeling you, and then, of course, you know, he talked about teams coming in here with a lot of confidence to turn around their offense. I mean, what does that feel like? How do you guys shoulder that?
He did come.
He didn't tell us that, but, I mean, it feels terrible. It's real. It has me speechless. Nothing to say. You got to guard. You got to man up and play defense, defend guys, other guys at NBA. They put their jerseys on just like we do. I don't care how young we are. We got to defend.
It seems like the frustration level is high with you.
Yeah, because it's just simple things, you know. Kemba Walker on transition, using our big to score. Us not knowing when to help. When not to help, just different things. And then, you know, defense is, like you said, a lot of it is about effort, and we're not putting forth the effort. So we're not in the right coverages when we, you know, the coverages that we're supposed to be in, those type of things. You can control that, you know what I'm saying? And we're not doing it.
How much of that's a function of different lineups? I mean, you're out there with different people,
different combinations. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, offensively, that, you know, it'll affect your offense a little more than affecting your defense. Your defense are concepts. This is what you do defensively, whoever's in the game. Offensively, okay, you play with different guys. You may need to know, you know, that that may change. You may get your shots in different places and things like that. But the offensive end hadn't been the problem. It's been the defensive end. So I don't see the correlation.
You know, and Garrett blames the team and individual defense, which I think that's accurate. Troubles with, you know, one-on-one defense and defending the pick and roll, those are all very accurate as well. And, You know, what's interesting, one of the things Garrett talks about that can be so troublesome is that, you know, communication on defense and scheme and game plans, all that can be controlled. That's something that needs to be in place, needs to be on point. And sometimes it's not going to be as sharp, but your concepts of what you want to run, that all has to be there. Whether you're playing, you know, different personnel, I don't think, as like Garrett said, that shouldn't affect that much on the defensive, and it might affect you more offensively. That's concepts, that scheme. Now, the effort, that just has to be there. And Garrett talked about effort and kind of scheme being a problem together. So, you know, whether it's they don't have a ton of shot blockers, they don't have a ton of elite defenders, but you can still do a collective team defense. And we know they can. We've seen it. It's been better. That was one of the worst outings we've seen from them defensively. And so I'm hoping a couple of days of practice and tightening up just kind of the exact communications of what they're trying to do, not having the complete breakdowns of letting guys wide open and having them burn you. One of the things I would say, if we're looking for any kind of small kind of silver lining positives, was the return of De'Aaron Fox. And I thought De'Aaron did all right in his game back. I'm still waiting for kind of some breakout consistent weeks and stretches for De'Aaron Fox, but you know, certainly not closing the book on him. I still think he's going to be a really good pro. But he did return to play after being out for a couple of weeks, and he talked about how he felt.
I mean, I feel good just getting back out there. That first quarter, I was tired, though. But just trying to get my win back. And I just finally trying to find a rhythm with the team.
Did you feel you would play that many minutes?
I didn't. But numbers called, you got to do it. And, you know, I felt like for my first game being back playing minutes, it was good for me. Just, like I said, just trying to get my win back.
How good was that fourth quarter for you to be able to get out there and kind of find a little bit of a rhythm offensively?
I mean, it's great for me, leaving me out there and just trying to play with those guys and just trying to get that chemistry and just trying to get everybody's confidence up. You know, even though we're losing this game, just try to build some confidence and some momentum into the next game.
That's like something you don't really struggle with that much, is confidence, but you can recognize that with some of your other teammates?
Yeah. I mean, you know, you see it when guys are shooting the ball. You see it when guys are playing defense, and just the overall energy. When people are confident, the energy of the team just shoots up. And that's just what I want to try to do. I just try to get those guys involved, especially, you know, when guys are going offensively, the defensively it'll pick up.
Did you see early in this game where you guys turned the ball over so many times, things kind of got loose?
Yeah, we were just kind of out of rhythm. I mean, even we shot the ball well. You know, even in the first half, it was just the fact that they got more shots up than we did. And, we weren't getting those stops. So if we were able to stop turning the ball over, you know, the game wouldn't have been so lopsided.
Missed six straight games. Did you get any perspective by sitting on the bench and watching?
Yeah, when I was sitting on the bench, it was really just when I get back out there, just try to make it easier. You know, for some guys, just try to get guys open shots. You know, I don't have to be the one to shoot the ball. I mean, I'm going to get, you know, the layups just from me being fast and being able to run. But when I was sitting over there, it's just when I get back on the court, try to make it easier for other guys.
When Coach talks about, you know, three straight games against some opponents that with some less than stellar records, and he says that they didn't feel you guys, how hard is that to swallow as a team?
Just coming out and knowing that we didn't play to our best of our ability, and not offensively, but defensively. You know, I mean, those guys put up points in it. And, you know, the few defensive possessions that we did have, they were so confident and already hot that they were just making the shot. So we got to come out early and just be able to cut some of that out. Like you said, make them feel us and just try to be physical defensively.
Is it hard to, on top of that, when you do have a game so well offensively?
No, I mean, when you're playing offensively, when you get it going, that just picks up the energy and defense picks up. So, I mean, we were making shots, but at the end of the day, we got to get those stops.
What kind of positives can you take away from this stretch?
From what?
From this stretch.
Oh, this stretch? For myself?
Yeah, or, I mean, or is
it? Today, you know, after, you know, we kind of got down, it was, well, not even that, just the entire game. We played with a really good pace today. You know, that's the one positive that we can really take out of it. We was getting up and down the court. Offensively, we weren't really slow. We weren't really stagnant. You know, it was really, you know, the defense that killed us and the turnovers that we had. So the pace that we played with today was great.
Do you see opportunities for that to happen more?
Definitely. You know, that's what we want to do. You know, we don't want to have to walk the ball up the court. And what that starts with is getting the ball out of the net. You know, you can run, but if they're making all these shots, it just becomes demoralizing. You start walking and you see it. It's just human nature. But if we're getting stops, you know, we're able to run.
Couple of things too from what De'Aaron said that I want to address, and you know, the big, big picture about the defense the other day, it's that was the problem. But what he brought up was at times when they did play better defense, Charlotte was already so hot that it didn't matter. There were, I mean, to be honest, Charlotte made some shots. You just went, really? How was that going in? But it doesn't matter because take the handful of those oh my gosh shots that went in, the Kings still get killed. So it's not, that's not the reason why they lost, but some of that was happening partly because the Kings let them get warm, let them get confident. Everybody thought they could make everything, and in turn, they started to. So the other thing about De'Aaron, about him, his game, I still feel like he's just a bit timid, and I'd like him to, I'd rather leave a game here recently where I go, man, De'Aaron forced it too much. I don't feel like he's doing that, which in one sense really should be a compliment. But I would like to see him push it a little more. I know we talked about how the pace was better offensively, but push it even more. Attack the basket even more. It's not easy to do it, but do it. And that's where his great skill set is, his ability to get to the rim. He can make some jumpers too, but that creates havoc, getting guys to collapse in the paint, throwing out to other shooters, or creating different things as a decision maker, as a playmaker, I think would be some areas that I'd like to see De'Aaron Fox continue to work on. All right, let's get to the Friday mailbag. And we got a couple entries here, different varieties. I'm going to start with Marcus. Marcus, it's short and sweet here. He goes, I've seen this team not play defense for a couple of games, and it's been a season-long problem of rebounding. So why on earth are they not using Jakarr Sampson? Where is he? Well, Marcus, Jakarr has literally been in the G League. There's a certain amount of days on the two-way players that they can use. Players think the dates are 45 dates, whether that's practice and games. But I'm not disagreeing with you. The Kings could elect to even bring him up or eventually even sign him if they wish to. I know Phoenix did that with Mike James, and then they actually released him, which was a bit bizarre. But Jakarr Sampson does provide a bigger, athletic, active wing defender, a guy that hustles, a guy that rebounds. I never felt that he hurt the team. I mean, he's a little bit bigger version of Garrett Temple. Can we say it that way? I mean, and physical, tough. I like him. I can't say I'm have a good answer for you with the exception of they've got a lot of other guys that they're trying to use and utilize, and that's where they are right now. So, and that's where he is right now, certainly with the G League team. This one's from Benny. It's more of a comment, but there's a question in here too. This was a really nice email, and it's kind of a good perspective email, let's say that. Benny says, Happy New Year. It was so awesome to be at Golden One Center tonight to see my Kings. I want to thank you for taking the time to visit with me and my family at the game tonight. It was also so cool to meet you with Henry and the G-Man. I listen to all of you every game. It was my first time at the new building, and as I told you, I will be in town for the game against the Hornets too. Yeah, I forgot about that, Benny. Sorry about that. So I am sure the results are better than today against Memphis. Man, reading these after the fact makes me laugh, but I laugh because it hurts. Sorry, Benny. But I'm sure the results are better than today against Memphis, but regardless, my family and I had the best time. When I saw you before the game doing the pregame show, I was wondering where you would be for the game. Then I found you and wondered if that was a good spot for you guys to call the game. I love the arena. It is so great. I love this team, and I love you guys. Thanks again. Looking forward to seeing you at the Charlotte game. Unfortunately, I didn't see Benny at the Charlotte game. I'm assuming you went, and I love the perspective. First, let me answer the question. The question, yeah, the spot is fine. I mean, I always prefer, and G-Man I know prefers to be courtside. It's a different feel to the game where you hear and get into it. You hear stuff that's said, the passion, the energy, the emotion, the referees, the coaches, what they're griping about. Up there, we can't hear that, but you can see a lot of plays developing. It's just a different perspective, and everything in the Golden One Center, I mean, it's a good vantage point. So no complaints there, but if I had a preference, sure, I would always pick to be closer, but it's not like we're that far and you've got the great big board. It's we're comfortable. I can't complain. Hey, look, we're doing a job that we love, get to call a game, root for the team, all that's in place. So, no complaints there. As far as what I appreciate about your email and meeting you, Ben, and your family, it was a lot of fun, too, to have Kings fans come up and say hi and different things, and I appreciate your email. But I also appreciate it for another reason. I mean, as much as I want this team to win every game, and not everybody goes to every game, and not everybody listens to every game, but people are invested in this team. But someone like you, Benny, had a great time with your family at a game in which the Kings were awful. And, you know, you're not going to win every game, but I like that perspective you shared, and I think that's really cool. So Thank you for that. I really do appreciate that, Benny. The last one from the mailbag. Haven't heard from Steve in a while, but he checks in. Hi, Jay Ross. So the Kings are in a rut. If you haven't heard, there's also a lot of talk about Jaeger's rotations, in case you didn't know. In parentheses, still looking for a sarcastic font, but it's eluding me. I'm curious, do you have a personal favorite Jaeger rotation that we haven't seen at any point in any game this year? Thanks, as always, for putting out great content on the daily, Steve. I don't know if it's a rotation that I haven't seen, but I do want to answer that with, again, I like to play just like you guys do. Like, I would have done this, I would have done that. I'm still a believer at the moment more so in the veterans, and I'm not eliminating the future. I'm not saying that De'Aaron Fox and Mason and Scout and all the guys can't be key contributors. But I think if I were coaching this team, I would trust the veterans. The better players, honestly, for the most part, have been the veterans. I think Zach Randolph has to play. I think Willie Cauley-Stein, though, can be in that mix. I think Garrett Temple needs to play for defensive purposes. But Buddy Hield and Bogdan Bogdanović can play. So if I really look at it, here are the guys, if it were me, my team that I'm coaching, I would play in some combination, and I'm not going to give you the rotation per se, but I would play Hill, I would play Fox, and I would play Mason. I would play Buddy, I would play Bogey, and I would play Temple. I would play Zeebo, and I would play Willie, and that gets, what, 3, 6, 8. Those 8, for certain, have to play every game. Every game. Now, I would think about a few other guys. And on the list of other guys that I would think about playing, I would think about Vince Carter. I would think about Costa Koufos. I would think about Scalabissiere. And that's probably my main group. So I'm leaving out Cooley, obviously, and Sampson. Still Giles at the moment. Papayannis, Jackson, and Malachi. That's me. So I'm playing the 8 for certain. Hill, Fox, Mason, Buddy, Bogey, Temple, Zeebo, and Willie. It's a little bit of a shorter team, smaller team, so I'd probably think about Scaller, Costa, maybe before Vince Carter. But that's it. That's the group I would play. I would play 8, probably a 9th with one of those two bigs of Scaller, Costa, and that's what I would do. You still can groom guys, and I'm still, as I've said all along, I'm very, very intrigued about what Harry Giles could ultimately be, but we're still waiting on when they kind of want to unleash him a couple years after his surgery. I think they wanted to wait 2 years, which I think is coming up here in January, and kind of do an evaluation of where they want to go forward with him. So thank you for those questions on the mailbag. Want to close things out with a look at the Denver Nuggets. Kings have faced them twice. It hasn't been good. They were at Denver early on in the season, October 21st. That game they lost big, 96-79. That was a bad game in Denver. Got out, rebounded 58-39. Kings shot with 36%. Kings had 34 points at the half, 52 after three. Paul Millsap did play in that game. It was Denver's home opener. He had 18. De'Aaron Fox led the Kings with 18, but never had a chance to win that game. Then they faced him in Sacramento on November 20th, lost that game 114-98. If you remember, Coach Malone was suspended from an incident the day before with the Lakers. Millsap and Chandler were out as well. Nobody healed for the Kings. Nuggets scored 67 in the second half and really stretched the game open. They out-rebounded the Kings again by 15. Nuggets went small in that game, and that's where they hurt the Kings. Barton, I think, had 25. Harris had 20. Murray had 18. Hill and Koufos led the Kings with 16 each. This is a tough matchup, and the Spurs to close out the homestand will be tough. That's why these three losses in a row of Phoenix and Memphis and Charlotte, to me, are bothersome for not only the way they played, but missed opportunities at a decent homestand. But in the end, if you beat Denver and you beat San Antonio, it'd be a 3-3 homestand. I would be happier with that at the end, but I'd also be equally frustrated going, wait, you beat the three best teams on the homestand and lost to three of the worst. So that'll beat the alternative than losing the next two or losing one of the two, but we'll see how it all goes as the Kings world turns, right? So we'll do it all and recap it all over the weekend on Monday. As we thank you, have a great weekend. Thank you so much for your questions on the mailbag. We'll be back again next week for more editions of Locked On Kings.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.